art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This evening, we'll be looking at a topic titled Questions to Ask Him When It Looks Like Mr. Right. And myself and Pastor Sophia will be taking this topic interchangeably. I'm sure we are going to have a wonderful time. We have 10 points. But before I get to this, let me say what the topic is about. This guy is asking you out, and you have prayed, or maybe you are still praying, and the guy is looking more like it. What do you do as a lady before ultimately giving your heart to him? So basically, we are talking to ladies in this message. I'm sure one of these days we'll talk to the guys. But this topic is for ladies. And it's going to help the guys to be able to prepare for the kind of questions they will be asked. So I believe it's a blessing to both sides. In the process of asking questions, you will conclude whether you are with the right person or not. So questions are very powerful. They help you to know. His responses to the questions will show his depth, his preparedness, his state of heart, how he thinks, and what he would likely do in certain circumstances. So in essence, what the questions help you to do is to dive into his mind, to take an excursion in his mind, and to be able to ascertain a lot of things about him. A lot of people fall in love and they don't get to ask questions, and that can be very disastrous. So, in the pre-proposal time, what a lot of people do is all the irrelevancies. Go and drink ice cream, go to cinemas, and waste all that time. What I believe is more of an intellectual, logical time to ask questions before you hopelessly fall in love, and then you can't ask any questions again. So, these questions, essentially, they are not to knock off the direction of God, but to affirm that which is in your heart concerning what God is saying. The responses to the questions will also wake you up. In case you are just in some romantic and unrealistic island of love, or you are simply hung on a crutch, it's going to help you. In Job chapter 40 and verse 7, Amplified Version, he says, "God of your noise now like a man. I will demand of you, and you answer me." That is the position every lady should take. Guard up your loins now like a man. I will demand you, and you must answer me. In the Message translation of Job 47, it says, "I have some more questions for you, and I want straight answers." You see, it's a time to ask questions and get your answers. In Job 47, it says, "Face me and answer the questions I ask." So let's get into this. What are those questions to ask him after he asks you out, or when he wants to ask you out? Number one, I'll take number one, and then Pastor Sophia will be here to take number two. And then we'll do it like that till we are through. I'm sure you're going to have a nice time. The first question is, why me? Why me? Why not another Sister Sube out there? Why me? Why not Sister Angela or Sister, you know, Shade? Why me? Why not another person? What do you see in me that warranted your decision? You know, in the scriptures, Moses asked God, why me? Why not another person? We see that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Message translation. Moses answered God, but why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know, ladies, you need to ask him that. What makes you think I'll be your wife? What makes you think I'll be a good wife? What makes you think I'll be able to support you? Ask questions. And when Moses asked this question from God, God didn't tell him to shut up. Rather, God provided an answer. What is that telling us? It is good to ask questions. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, Message translation, God said, I'll be with you. And this will be the proof that I'm the one who sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you will worship God right there at this mountain. God answered him. And Moses was not satisfied. Moses even went ahead to ask more questions. In Exodus 3:13, Message translation, then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and I tell them, the God of your father sent me to you, and they ask me what's his name, what do I tell them? So you ask him, suppose I go to my family and they ask me, who are you? Who is the person I want to marry? What do I tell them? Who are you? Where are you from? What kind of family are you coming from? What are your antecedents? And God didn't say, hey, you are irritating me. Shut up your mouth. No, God answered him. In Exodus 3:14, Message translation, God answered him. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you. See, the response to these questions will show whether his intention is genuine or not. You see, when someone is telling a lie or pretending, it shows in their speech patterns. When he's saying the truth and communicating from his heart, it also shows. You must not allow the feeling of love to becloud your judgment in picking out loose ends in the responses. Let me say that again. You mustn't allow the feelings of love to becloud your judgment in picking out the loose ends in his responses. Let him face the panel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
The number two question you want to ask when a guy is coming along your way is, you want to be sure what his conviction is or are. So the number two question is about his conviction. You want to ask him who is behind his conviction. You want him to tell you, is it God that is leading him, or is it just moved by your body features? Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 37 and 38, on the other hand, if a man is comfortable in his decision for a single life in service to God and is entirely his own conviction and not imposed on him by others, he ought to stick with it. Verse 38. Marriage is spiritually and morally right and not inferior to singleness in any way. Although, as I indicated earlier, because of times we live in, I do have pastoral reasons of encouraging singleness. So you want to be sure what is his conviction is. From this passage, we can see that just as conviction is necessary for singleness, it is also necessary for marriage. You don't want to get to a stage where he's just convinced for a little while. You don't want to get into a relationship with him and discover that his conviction is barely there. So you want to know how sure he is that God is leading him into this relationship, which will eventually lead into marriage. Our marriage is something of destiny. You are not interested in somebody playing with your destiny or life. So you want to be sure what his convictions are.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're looking at number three now, and the question is plans. What are his immediate and future plans? You need to know that. You shouldn't allow the plans he has for you to be buried under some ice cream and some nice jollof rice and fried rice. Alright? You must ask this question. You are asking this to know if his plans will accommodate and complement your own. You know, there are some career combinations that will not go together. Find out if you are getting married to a sailor that may not be around for 6 months of the year. If you are very clingy and you cannot bear seeing people around your husband, then don't marry a pastor. The plans a man has will either keep him in grace or out of it. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Message translation, He says, I suspect you will never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ and you fall out of grace. So depending on someone's plans, the plan can cut you off from grace or keep you in grace. So you need to know, what plan does this man have? Hallelujah.
Number four is, how does he relate to his mom and sisters? You want to be sure, you want to ask him, you want to find out his relationship with his mom and sisters, because how he relates with his mother and sisters will show how he will eventually relate with you. You want to be sure how he treats them, what value does he put on them, how much respect does he show for them. So you want to find out his value system for his mom and his sisters. You want to know what value he places on the female gender. If you hear him over the phone, shouts or talks anyhow to his mom or to his sister, it's an indication of how he will eventually treat you in marriage. Now, Proverbs 22 and verse 24 and 25, the Amplified Version, says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, and a wrathful man do not associate, lest you learn his ways and get yourself into a snare. So you really want to be sure how he relates with the female gender. If it's somebody that doesn't respect his mom and his sister, you want to have a rethink before you enter into the relationship with him.
Hallelujah. Number five, we're looking at values. What are his values in life? If he goes like, well, I'm a free thinker, I only attend church when I like, that shows some value conflict, isn't it? You want to be careful. If your values are at variance, it's an indication that numerous quarrels and disagreements are waiting for you. Understand that these questions are not to turn you into a questionnaire. The intent is not to use questions to disregard God's direction. If all your questions are not properly answered, and yet you have the peace of God, please proceed, because it is only God that knows tomorrow. However, in such cases, you have to make sure it is really the peace of God and not just a feeling. Questions are very important. And also pray and seek God's direction before falling in love. When you are falling in love, you really will not care about any questions or answers. In Proverbs 9:13, Amplified, the Bible says, the foolish woman is noisy. She is simple and open to all forms of evil. She willfully and recklessly knows nothing whatever of eternal value. I pray that God will grant us more understanding in Jesus' name. So in Proverbs 9:13 that we just read, we see how someone didn't have any eternal value. Nothing whatever of eternal value. Proverbs 9:13, Amplified Version says, the foolish woman is noisy, she's simple and open to all forms of evil. She willfully and recklessly knows nothing whatever of eternal value. So it's possible for somebody to know nothing of eternal value. So you want to ask this person, does this person have anything of eternal value? What are those values? May God grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.
The next question you would like to ask him is, you want to ask about his mentors. You want to really know whether he has mentors, whether he values his mentors, whether he respects them, and what value does he put on his mentors? How does he see mentors? Some people may see mentors as tormentors. Some people might have little or no respect for mentors. You really want to know what state of heart he has towards his mentor. Is it more of ignorance on mentoring benefits or defiance? You want to know if he doesn't have mentors at all, and you want to know why. This has to be sorted out before you enter a relationship with him. You want to really know what is his position about mentors, because eventually every relationship and every marriage will go through a crisis time, and it is these mentors you will run to at such times to bail you out, because eventually mentors have gone ahead of us. They have gone years ahead of us, and there are wisdoms in the mouth of these mentors to speak into the relationship. So you want to ask him what is his position about mentors. Now, if he says no, he doesn't have a mentor, then you should know that there will be issues eventually. Is he ready to take counsel? Is he ready to change from his ways and have mentors? Is he open to having mentors? All this you have to know and ask him. The Bible says in Proverbs 9 and verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You want to know, is he open to the benefits of mentors? If he's open, then you know that there is a headway. But if he is not open to having mentors, you know there is a problem here. Let's also look at Proverbs 1 and verse 5. The wise also will hear and increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so we go to number 7, and then number 7 talks about habits. What are his habits? You need to find out. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, Message translation, the Bible says, like habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. You see where the Bible is likening slack habits and sloppy works of vandalism here. So you need to be specific and ask him directly, do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you party? Find out about all those things. Don't assume that, well, we met in church. Find out who he really is. Now, if the answer to the above, drinking, smoking, is in the affirmative, obviously you are not on the same page. In 2 Corinthians 14, he said, don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? He said, that's not partnership, that's war. It's light, best friends with the dark. You see, there are some issues and there are some responses you find. There's nothing to pray about. There's no need to pray that God will change him, because nothing can happen until he makes up his mind. If he says, no, well, I don't do all these things again, and then you discover later, run for your dear life. Run for your dear life. Run, because he has the capacity to be untruthful. You see, insincerity and adultery are cousins. They hang out together. So if he says yes, but he will change later, after wedding, he is very unlikely to change. Why? Marriage is not a change agent. Be careful of those who want to change because of you, not because they feel it's wrong. They will go back there later. So you need to be careful about all that. Be careful of people who say you should change them as well. You cannot change anybody. You are not the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I hope we are getting it right. Amen.
Okay. The number 8 question you want to ask is, you want to find out about his stance about sex. You want to know what his disposition is about sex before marriage. If he believes there's nothing wrong about premarital sex, he's in essence telling you he's going to be putting pressure on you in that relationship, and you don't want to go against God's standards in your relationship. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3-5. In the King James Version, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. The word of God is clear about not engaging in premarital sex and everything that has to do with premarital sex. Verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 5 says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. So from this verse, we know God stands against premarital sex. Let's look at the Amplified version of that same Bible passage. It reads, for it is the will of God that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. Verse 4 says that each one of you should know how to possess, control, or manage his own body in consecration, that is purity, separated from things profane and honor. And verse 5 says, not to be used in the passion of lusts like the Eden, who are ignorant of the true God and have no knowledge of his will. So you want to be very sure about his stance against premarital sex.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Now we are in number 9. What are his priorities? You need to find out. What are his priorities? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Amplified Version, it says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. In other words, the priority of any man you want to get married to should be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Would he watch football instead of going to church on a Sunday? Believe you me, you don't need such lukewarmness over your head. The fire in you will die slowly. When your faith is constantly belittled, trampled, and disregarded, you want to make sure you have somebody as your head that will encourage you and encourage you to seek God more. It can be frustrating having to choose a man over God. That kind of relationship or marriage is packaged to fail from the inception. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 7, Message translation, it says, when you say the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer a priority, he said, that's defiling. God sees as defilement when you don't prioritize him. In Luke chapter 12 verse 34, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, where his priority is, that's where his heart is, and that is where he's going to gravitate towards. Is he the kind of person that will go and bet? Is he the kind of person that will go and drink? Is he the kind of person that will go and gamble? You need to find out about all this. I pray that God will guide you in the name of Jesus. You will not miss it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Yes, the 10th question you will ask him is, you want to find out about anger issues. Number 10 is anger issues. Does he have anger issues? Everybody is angry regularly, but there are dangerous levels of anger which is not healthy in a relationship and eventually in marriage. So you want to find out, is he an angry person? Is he working on his anger? Anger and foolishness work hand in hand. And an angry person will eventually take foolish decisions. An angry person can even do things he will eventually regret. So you want to know, is this person an angry person? Is he given to anger? What are the things that stir up his anger? How far has he gone in managing his anger? Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 14 and verse 17. Here we will know what the Bible is saying about anger. It says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. So you want to let him know that anger is not just about his temperament, that if he is somebody given to anger and is comfortable with being an angry person, he is actually dealing foolishly. Now, you don't want to enter into a relationship and eventually enter into marriage with someone who will eventually be dealing foolishly. Proverbs 14 and verse 17 in the Message translation reads, "The hot-headed do things they will later regret." You don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who eventually does something and he eventually comes around saying he's sorry, you know, and he regrets his action. As a matter of fact, the scriptures advises that we should not fall in love with an angry man. Okay, this is because an angry man is very much likely to revert to domestic violence eventually. Let's see what the Bible has to say in Proverbs 22 and verse 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou should not go." So the Bible is not mincing word here by telling us not to enter into any form of relationship, talk less of entering into marriage with an angry man. What if he has anger issue and is working on it? Then check for peace. If peace is there, then you can proceed. That is, if he has an anger issue and he's already working on it, is making progress, you want to be sure if the progress is making is really genuine. It's not just saying he's making progress or he's working on his anger. You want to be sure how genuine he is about the progress he's making. Angry people can murder their spouse. That's very true. And we have the report of this going on where spouse eventually will murder the other spouse because they are angry based on whatever reasons. They can wipe out the family and they can even kill themselves. So you want to be sure you are not entering a relationship with an angry person.
Praise the Lord. Now, in conclusion, in Ezekiel 37, something amazing happened there. The Bible says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." I'm praying for us this evening in the name of Jesus that bone will come to his bones. In the name of Jesus, you will find your bone and not another person's bones in the name of Jesus. When Adam saw Eve, he said, "This is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh." In other words, you need to find your own bone. And in Ezekiel 37, he said, "Bones came together, bone to his bone." I'm praying that in supernatural circumstances, by the orchestration of the divine and by the help of God, bone will come to his bones in the name of Jesus. You will find that right person. You will not be confused. You will not be disconcerted. Your time will not be wasted. God will ensure you find that person early in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.